Amen. I love to hear the young people singing. Amen. Come on now. If we don't encourage them, they ain't getting no encouragement outside these walls. I can guarantee you that. We need to encourage them in the things of the Lord. And I tell you what, it blesses my heart to hear them sing and to bless the Lord. What a blessing that is. Amen. Amen. But it is an honor to have Brother Charles Siegbert with us this morning, missionary to Uganda, him and his family. He come over to visit with us today, and appreciate him. And how long have you been in missions, brother? Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. We thank the Lord for faithful men and their families. And I'm going to try to get him scheduled to come preach for us soon. And you pray for him and his family. It's faithful men relaying the gospel to others. Amen. Making a difference all around the world. And we thank the Lord for them. We need to honor them and pray for them. Amen. Amen. If you would be turning to 2 Peter this morning, 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Second Peter chapter 1, I want to begin reading in verse number 1 this morning. You've got your place. Verse number 1, 2 Peter says, Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you today, we are thankful, Lord. We're thankful. Lord, as we've already sang this morning, my heart's been blessed that, Lord, just thinking about what you have done for us. Lord, thinking about the love that you have shown to us. Lord, we thank you for not only your love, Lord, but the gift that you gave us of salvation through your Son on the cross at Calvary. Lord, you gave everything so that we could have everything. Lord, we're not worthy this morning. We are, Lord, just dust of the earth, but we thank you for breathing life into us today. And we pray that you would help us, Lord, today as we look into your Word. I pray that you'd give me wisdom that only you can give. I pray that the Spirit of God would fill us. And Lord, help me to say what you would have said today. I pray that every person sitting here today, I know life can be hard, life can be tough. And I pray that every heart and every mind would be focused on the Word of God today. It is the Word of God that can heal. It is the Word of God that can touch. It's the Word of God that can exhort and encourage. And I pray today that each and every individual would leave here with exactly what you have planned for them today. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in 2 Peter chapter number 1, I know last year we went through and preached a series on adding to your faith. We preached on the idea and the promise given in verse number 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning the Lord has impressed me to preach this a little different angle. I've been back and forth with what the Lord would have for this morning. I thought the Lord was going to have me preach on Samson this morning, and He has not allowed me to do so. But the Lord has kept putting this on my heart and on my mind through the night and this morning. And I just want to bring you some things out of this passage that the Lord has put on my heart today. Now, just to overlook the passage here, or not overlook, but to do an overview of the passage to understand where Peter is at here. Peter mentions to us in verse number 13, he says, "Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." Peter, in this situation, he tells us that he has understood from the Lord that he would not be much longer on this earth. He was not going to be spending a whole lot more time in his tabernacle. Peter had come down to the end of his life on earth. The Lord had allowed him to know that and to understand that. And so as I read this passage and understand that, I understand when a man comes down, especially godly men, come down to the end of their days, pay attention very well to what they have to say. If you like to read, if you can read the last words or the last few sermons of men that have gone on to be with God, it is amazing the things that can be brought out and the importance of things that are brought out on the last breaths of a man here on earth that honors God and wants to honor God in their life. And this is what Peter's telling us. He's saying, knowing that I'm only going to be here for a short time, he says, I think it's meet. I think it's important for you that I stir you up. I think it's imperative for me in the last breath that I have to stir you up by remembering some things. And so this morning, what I want you to see is I would like to, as Peter, along with Peter, parallel what Peter is doing to try to stir us up. Sometimes we just need a good stirring, amen? Ladies, you know as you're cooking, if you don't stir the food now and then, it's going to get burnt or it's going to stick, and then you're all been out of shape. Oh, man, and then you're trying to pick out all the big glumps and the glops, and y'all know how it is. It is imperative that we are stirred at times. Peter thought this was one of the most important things to share with these individuals. He is speaking, again, by way of introduction, let's go back to the first verse. He is talking to saved individuals. He said, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. He's talking to believers. He said, I'm not going to be here long, but I feel important. It's very important for me to tell you some things. I'm going to get out my spiritual ladle and I want to stir you up, is what he's saying. And I want to, again, parallel these things. You know, it's a very dangerous thing to forget. I'm not going to get on my soapbox this morning, but I do want to say, you know, one reason the educators these days want to take out the history of our forefathers and the stories of what really happened and how our country was founded and why the men founded our countries and why, you know, the men that actually gave their life because they wanted to be free to worship God. They take that out of the books. Why? Because they don't want our children to remember why we are the United States of America. They don't want our children to understand why those things happen, so therefore they take it out of the books. They don't want them to see why There's a lot of other people in this world who don't live in freedom. There's a lot of people in this world who live, in the devastation and all the things. God has blessed this country because this country was founded upon the principles of the Word of God. That is why God has blessed this country. Because men did not deem it too much to give their life to say, you know what, I want my grandchildren to be able to come into a church and worship God freely without someone coming in and telling them they can't. We don't need to let our children forget why God has allowed us to be here in this place. Don't ever let your children, you know, remind them. We live in freedom today, not just because it just happened. No, there are men on the battlefields even today fighting for the freedoms we possess. Don't ever forget that. You know, again, I'm not trying to get on a soapbox or run rabbits this morning, but you know, the least we can do is come into a temperature-controlled facility, sit on a padded pew, have updated toiletries, and come into the house of God to worship Him for what He has done. The least I can do is come into this place of comfort and freedom. I don't have to be aware or to be afraid of someone driving in with a gun and telling me we can't do this, or we are doing this freely. We don't need to forget why we are doing this freely. And we don't need to forget those that do not do this freely but yet still do this. We need to give God the glory and the praise when we come into this place. That's what it's all about. The least we can do. But don't forget, forgetting is very dangerous. I believe it's the greatest poison that can happen in a Christian's life. Peter deemed it so important that his last breaths were given in this manner. Let's look at some things here. Back in verse number 1, Peter says, he says, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The first thing that I see, and Peter doesn't mention that he's reminding them of these things, but he includes these things for a reason, and I believe it's good for us to be reminded. He reminds them, he says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. How did we obtain that faith? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The first thing that I believe we must be reminded and stirred up about is our precious faith. Where does your faith come from? You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we will kind of get swollen in the fact that we have faith, and in the fact that we believe, and in the fact that, hey, I trust God. You don't trust God because of something you have done. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the only reason we have the Word of God is because it was given to us by Jesus Christ. He is the Word. And He lived among us. So the reason we have faith, our precious faith, is because of Jesus. We have it by faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, you will lose your love for the Word of God. You will lose your love for the Word of God when you forget where it came from. I've stressed this, especially in church. I wanted to, again, Wednesday night, I just wanted to thank you for following the Lord and how you gave towards the rolls of paper for the Bibles being printed, sent to those four countries that we posted there on the window. The church gave, and we got a little over three rolls of paper to print Bibles for people, put it in the hands of people who don't have it. But why do I stress that? Because yes, even though I was born in a good godly home, even though from the time I was in a little baby seat, my ears were hearing the Word of God. But the only reason I have faith, and the only reason my life has been changed, and the only reason I trust Him is because I heard. And I heard because of this Word. But you know what? If I forget that this Word and where it came from, and also the fact that, young people, do you realize that the Word of God, just the printing of the Word of God, that many men gave their life so that you and I could have the English Bible in your hand this morning? But yet it lays all week long half the time and we can't find it on Sunday morning. We lose our love for the Word of God because we forget where it came from. We need to be stirred up this morning. You say, well, preacher, I'm not being mean in any way. I understand that because I have to be stirred up. We don't need to lose and forget where the Word of God came from. It wouldn't hurt the children to understand and read how the Word of God was given to us. The men and how it was translated. All the things that have been gone into having the Word of God in our language. What a blessing. Our faith comes from Him. I believe because He allowed me to know the story. He allowed me to hear the story. Our faith comes from the Word of God. And I thank God for His Word. Amen. You'll find something else in life, and this isn't the angle of the message this morning, but you'll find something else. If you ever come through a time in life when your faith is weak, and you just seem like you just have trouble believing anything, you know, I just don't see how it's going to happen, I just don't understand, you know, you seem to be low in faith, get back in the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do I know that God can do great things? Because if I get in the Word of God and I read that He can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000 men, well, that increases my faith that my little problem, God can handle that. But I wouldn't have that faith if it wasn't for the Word of God. Our precious faith. He called it precious faith. He didn't just say it was faith. It was precious. That was something in Peter's life. Peter knew it was precious, and it should be precious to us. I'm moving on this morning. All right. The next thing. Verse number 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now he ties the fact that we have grace and peace, and He wants us to have that multiplied in our life through the knowledge of God. If you know, our grace and peace comes from Him. But He says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life. The second thing we need to see and that we need to be stirred up never to forget is we really don't need to forget the power of God. He said it gives us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He gives us everything that we need in this life to live godly and to do what He has called us to do. Look at what he says in the last part of that verse. The knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You know what? When you forget the power of God, I believe you will forget that you have a specific calling on your life. That He has called you for something. When you forget the power of God, you tend to forget that He has called you to glory and virtue. He has called you, even if He has not called you to a specific place. See, we forget sometimes. He's called us to be a light. See, so many people think that the will of God is positional. That I can't be in the will of God unless He sends me somewhere. Now, I know God puts a calling on men's lives. God's called Brother Siegbert to Uganda, and He's blessed his family and allowed him to work. But that does not exempt you from a calling because God didn't say, hey, Brother Roy, I want you to go to England. Or I want you to go to Russia. But that doesn't exempt you that you have a calling. He's called you to glory and to virtue. He's called you to be a light. Right here in Claremont County. Right here on the first pew in Welcome Baptist Church. Around those that know you, He has called you to be a light. And we forget the power of God. We forget our calling. You know, too many people, and I know I've said this before, too many people, they think that if God hasn't given them specific or something unique,
their talent isn't just something out there, you know, way out there. God's enabled me to do this or enabled me to do that. And if they don't have that, they feel as if God does not have a purpose. But let me remind you, the devil doesn't want you to see that. The devil wants you to be blinded from the fact that he might just have you right here in the middle of Claremont County to be one of the greatest lights. When you, wherever you're working, wherever you go, whatever you do in your life, your light will shine. Because he has called me, no matter where I'm at, to be, he said, to glory and to virtue. He's called me with a purpose. I am to glorify the name of God in everything I do, everything I say, no matter where I'm at. Each and every one of us, young people, he may not call you to, he may not, but he has called you to glory and to virtue. He's called you to live a life pleasing unto him so that our life, you know, even in the Gospels, he tells us, why should we have good works? So that we may glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's the whole purpose of what we do every day. So we are called for a purpose. But you say, well, I can't live the life. There's not one person in this place who has the ability in your natural human self to live a godly life. In your flesh, you will never glorify God. The Bible talks about that. There is no flesh that can glorify God. The only way we can live a life to glorify Him and to praise Him is through the Spirit of God, that third person of the Trinity, who He gives to us. Again, He has given us everything we need. But the only way, it's the power of God put upon our life. And if we apply it the way it should be applied, we can beam as Christians throughout this land, no matter where God places us. Whether it be in Russia, or whether it be in Africa, where Brother Charles is, whether it be down in South America, wherever you are, if you live your life pleasing to God and glorifying Him, you are doing His will. So young people, don't be confused. Well, God hasn't called me. God hasn't touched my life. God hasn't given me a specific direction. Yes, He has. He's called you to glorify His name. And if that's sweeping floors and wiping baby slobber off of chairs downstairs, you know what? That's God's will, and God has placed that in your life. And when you get to heaven, you're going to get a plaque bigger than you ever thought. Because you glorified God in your life and you did what God called you to do. It might be teaching a Sunday school class for 40 years, faithfully, every Sunday, preparing and teaching those little ones the love of God and the light. It might, whatever it is, you've just purposed in your heart, I'm going to glorify God. And you're doing what God wants you to do. But you cannot do it without His power. He will empower you. But then look at verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, that means by those promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. You know, we can forget the promises of God. The reason our country is falling and there's not many people who have that look of divine nature, that, you know, he's like Jesus, that man is like Christ, that lady is Christ-like. How often do you hear that anymore? It's because people have forgotten the promises of God. Now, sometimes the problem when we think about the promises, we only think about the good promises. If I were to ask the young people or anybody in here this morning to give me a promise, most of the time, 90% of the time, somebody's going to give me a promise of something positive. But the Lord shall supply all your needs. And that is a great promise. But we forget the negative promises. And this is what Peter's talking about. Read that verse again. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He mentions that there are exceeding great and precious promises. Look in Galatians chapter number 6 with me. I want to show you a promise. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 8. Actually, back up to verse 7. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then Paul goes on to tell us to not be weary in well-doing. Why did he tell us that? Because he knows we will get weary in well-doing. You ever gotten weary in well-doing? I'm sure you could ask Brother Charles, you could sit down with him, and he could probably tell you there's times in life and ministry that, man, you can get tired of doing right. You can get weary. But he gave us a promise there, and what was that promise? He said, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. What did Peter talk about? He said, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. He said, the problem is you forget the promises. Young people, you need to understand one promise. If you sow in your, you know, if you, like the world says, well, he's got to sow his wild oats. You know what? You're going to reap something. You forget that fact. Well, just let him sow his wild oats. No, don't let him sow his wild oats. Because somebody's got to reap it. He's going to reap that corruption. That is not biblical. It's not right. Young people, if you, and something I try to stress, your life is made up of decisions, and what you spend your time doing and what you spend your money doing, you're going to reap that. You waste your time and just sow to this world and sow to your flesh, you're going to, of the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. And that's why, young people, you don't look around and see a lot of godly young people walking around with that divine nature, because they have forgotten the promise that if you sow to the flesh, you're going to of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, what does he say? You're going to reap life everlasting. That abundant life that Jesus said he came to give us. He said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. We need to teach our children and our young people. Yes, they need to know the great and precious promise. They need to know the precious promise that, yes, God will supply you. God will take care of you. If you're a child of God, He's going to care for you. But you need to also remember those promises that if you sow to your flesh and you sow to this world, and you are going to reap it. There's so many people in this world who are sowing to the flesh and then praying that God will not allow it to grow. This might seem hard, and I'm just telling you, there are people who sow to the flesh and then they're all, you know, basically begging God, Lord, don't let it grow. Let us have crop failure. But the Bible says if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap. You're going to reap corruption. It's true. The wages of sin is death. We need to remember these promises so that we, you know, the only way you're going to obtain and be partakers of the divine nature, Peter said, is if you understand the promises of God. You can be like Christ if you understand the promises of God. Here's another promise. If you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. That's a promise. So what does that say to me, Brother Nathan? That means if I lose my wants, my wishes, my desires, everything that I, as Michael Andrew Tripp, wants to do, and I say, Lord, whatever you want me to do. Lord, whatever is in my life that you want me to do, I'm going to do that before anything else. And if I lose myself, lose my life, he said, I would find it. Some people might look at, you know, a missionary who's been on the field a long time. That's their life. They live it, breathe it. That's their life. Some, the outward world would look at them and say, man, what a life. But I guarantee you, he can sit down and tell you some things. God, he has seen things. God do things that not many people get to see because they've been willing to give their life. Young people, lose your life for his sake and you'll find it. You'll find out that all these kids that are looking for life, they never find it. They wind up looking between bars and everything else, wondering, you know, it's always somebody else's fault. No. Lose your life. That's a promise. You say, well, preacher, how do I do that? Get in His Word and understand and learn. You look at the life of Christ. He did nothing on this earth to help Himself. He used nothing to help Himself. He never used the power that God had given Him to help Himself. It was always given to help someone else. Don't forget, he was a carpenter. And I guarantee he was a good one. He could have had the nicest house on the block. He could have had a nice boat. He probably could have built it himself. He could have done whatever he wanted to do, but did he? No. Every time you see Jesus, every story he tells, he's touching somebody. He's helping somebody. Either that or he's rebuking some religious person who thinks they know it all. But he didn't do anything for himself. That's what he's trying to teach us. We are here for other people. Young people, learn to give your life to the Lord to be used so you can help others. Don't get into this lie that Satan tries to sell. No, you got to watch out for number one. You got to do it. No. That's not biblical. You show me one time that God says to do that. No. You let Him look out for you. And you follow what He wants you to do. I know this ain't shouting preaching, but oh well, it's okay. Amen. The promises. Young people, get into the promises that God has for you. You want to find life? You want to know abundant life? Forget what you want. Lose yourself and your desires and say, Lord, whatever you want. And that's how you'll find it. But then the last thing this morning. Verse number 5, he says, and beside this, parallel with this, parallel with remembering all these things, he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? We talked about that. We did a series on how we can be fruitful. We have been promised that if those things are added in our life, you're not going to be barren. Your life's not going to be without some fruit. But look at verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. The last thing that I see this morning, Peter is reminding them that they were purged from their old sins. You know what basically Peter was saying? Some of y'all have forgotten where you were when God changed your life. Peter understood the fact that it was easy to forget where God, where he was before God changed his life. Peter was growing all throughout his discipleship. He was still cussing. Peter battled this old flesh. Just goes to show you that he had to grow in the Lord. The Lord had to teach him some things. He even denied the Lord. You remember all that? But he was still a disciple. The Lord still used him on the day of Pentecost. The Lord didn't throw him out to the garbage. So what does that mean as well? You're going to have struggles. You're going to have problems. I'm not saying you got to be perfect for God to use you. But what Peter said, there was times in his life, he's on his deathbed basically. In his mind, he's at the end of his time, and he's saying, you know what? It's easy to forget where you were before he saved you. And you know what he tells us? Basically in this, I see that Peter puts our progress in this Christian life on us. Now, the Lord has given us all these other things. He's given me that perfect, precious faith. through hearing the Word of God, I have faith and trust in Him. He's shown me that the power of God has given me what I need for this life. All the things that I need. The grace for every day. The peace that I need. He gives me all those things. The mercy, the love, the courage and all that I need for this life. He gives that to me. And then he says these promises, if you'll get a hold of them, you can be more like Christ. But then he says, beside this, along with this, you have to add some things to your life. That means the progress is up to you. If you're still nibbling on baby food and you've been saved for 15 years, that means you haven't been adding anything. You haven't, alongside of what God has done, you aren't adding anything to your life. But Peter said, here's the problem. I think you've forgotten where you were when he saved you. You know, you say, well, preacher, you were in a good home. Yeah, I was. But you know what I think about a lot, too?
My dad, he wasn't raised in a good home. Y'all have heard this story. You know it well. But you know, I remind myself all the time. My daddy laid in bed at night hearing his dad drag in drunk, beaten and throwing. I mean, just an awful way to grow up. He didn't even want to live. All the mess that went on in his home, but just because of alcohol and how it destroyed his life. But God, when he was 11 years old, he began to listen to a radio program of a preacher preaching the Word of God. And through the hearing of the Word of God, he had some faith and he told his mama, "Mama, I need to go hear this fella." And the Lord, when he was that young, touched his life and changed his life. And even though he didn't grow up in a great environment, God changed him. And he's been preaching for over 41 years this year. The Word of God. Why? Because one day the Lord, even though his mama didn't care about a Bible, and even though his daddy didn't care about a Bible, he turned on that radio and the Lord allowed the Word of God to flow through that radio and allowed him to get a little bit of faith and say, "There's something else." He trusted in something he could not see. He had never known. He'd never heard of it before. But you know what? If I forget where God brought him from, you know what? I can get cold. If I hadn't heard the Word of God as a 7-year-old boy and knelt down and asked God to save me, there is no telling where I'd be today. I don't know where you were when God touched your heart and you came to know Christ. I don't know where you were when you heard the Word and that faith grew and you believed on Jesus and gave your heart to Him. I don't know where you were, but don't ever forget that moment. Don't ever. Because Peter said, then you'll forget to add. You need to add. You need to be progressing. You need to be moving forward in this life, this Christian walk. Don't ever get to a place. Don't ever get to a place where you feel you've plateaued in the Christian walk. That will be the last day that you'll see fruit. That's what he said. If you have these things and they abound, if these things are overflowing in your life, you're going to have fruit. You're not going to be barren. Whatever you do in the work of Christ, there's going to be seasons. There's times you don't see fruit every month of the year. There's times in your life you're not going to see. It might be dry for a little bit. But he promises you, you will be fruitful. Paul says, don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Young people, I'm not saying that every time you go out to witness that somebody's going to get saved. But I guarantee you, if you're faithful and you continue to do what God wants you to do and you ask God to send you where and be what God wants you to be and your life just flows of the Lord, I guarantee fruit is going to start falling off the tree. Amen. And you know what? It might be somebody else that said, you know what, that fellow you went to see last week, I met him in the store. And he told me he couldn't wait till Sunday. He wanted to get saved right there. I mean, you just never know. You never know. But it's up to us. Our progress depends on us. But don't forget where you were when he found you. He was looking for me. He's the great shepherd. He was looking for me. Don't ever forget. Whatever you knew maybe this morning, maybe he needs to just get that ladle and just stir some things up in your life. Young people, maybe he has shown you what he wants you to do and it's scaring you to death. What Peter said, look at the power of God. Get in His Word. Look at what happened when people gave their life to God. You look at the life of Joseph. Joseph just followed God. He didn't have a degree down at Yale and Harvard and everything else, but one day he was in prison, and the next day he was the financial leader of a nation. Well, how did that happen? It was God. The power of God working through his life. Joseph was used of God because he gave himself to God. God can do anything with you. Maybe you've grown cold in your Christian walk. Maybe just, I don't know what it is. But I know if the Lord wanted me to say this today, somebody needed stirring up. I need it.
Amen.
But don't ever forget. Don't ever forget when you come into the house of God, you might be discouraged, but yet there's little ones around here that might need a hug. They might need some encouragement and exhorting and some praying. Don't forget the fact that God has you here for someone else.
Let's all stand this morning. Peter deemed it meet in the last moments of his life to tell us we need stirring up. And I pray that each and every day of our life will be stirred up in the things of God. Brother Alex, if you'll come and we'll sing a verse or two of an invitational song. If you're here this morning, maybe you have never given your heart to the Lord. Maybe you've heard the word and your heart's been stirred, but you've just never made the decision to come to know Christ. If you need to do that, come and do that today. But if you're here and you've never just given it up and said, Lord, I want to live your life, the life you have for me, that's what I want. Maybe that's what you need to do today. Brother Alex.
Number 271, Lord, I'm coming.
Thank you for coming today. I appreciate you being here. And as long as the weather doesn't make a change, we're planning on being here tonight. Be back in the book of Romans, chapter number 6. Going through the book of Romans tonight. And it has been a pleasure to have Brother Charles with us, his family. We'll be having him soon, Lord willing. But you pray for him, pray for his family, amen. And I tell you, I appreciate men that have been faithful to the Lord, Brother Charles. We appreciate you. And if you would, dismiss us with a word of prayer this morning, please.